Welcome back. I'm here back with the Felix Hartman Show with Daria and Natalia, the two founders of DressX, what I consider the number one digital fashion marketplace, perhaps some of the most incredible builders in both, well, I would call like Web 2.5 because you're building both in the digital fashion space in Web 2 and also in Web 3. You guys have so many accolades. I've got a whole list here from you guys were finalists in the LMVH Innovation Awards. Daria is called the Kiev's Fashion Queen Bee by Vogue UK. Daria, both together have 25 years of experience in the fashion industry and so many other things from Daria, a TV show in Ukraine. She was an editor for Elle, Harper's Bazaar, Vogue. Natalia, you were a curator at Kiev's Fashion Institute. Just incredible background in fashion, and now you guys are digging into digital fashion. So before we get into the nitty gritty of like NFTs and everything, let's tell a little bit about the origin story from how you from traditional fashion to digital to Web3, how you guys met. Yeah, maybe you can start us off.
We met many years ago in Ukraine, so it was almost like 15 years ago. And you're right, I hosted a TV show and I was a journalist. So I was writing to all of this fashion media that you've just mentioned and to various others as well. And Natalia was an editor of the media, and that was all in like one company we worked together. And while I was traveling to the fashion weeks all around the world and like you interviewing people from the fashion industry, and it was mainly like fashion designers and stylists and different celebrities, I also realized that locally we in Ukraine, it was back in the days like 15 years ago, 13 years ago, did not support designers, local designers, mm-hmm. the way we should. So that's how we started the project that was called Mercedes-Benz Kiev Fashion Day. So mm-hmm. it was the fashion week that became the largest one in Eastern Europe, sponsored by internationally by Mercedes-Benz. Mm-hmm. As all the fashion events back then all around the world, it was like a special program by Mercedes-Benz when they supported the most interesting fashion weeks, yeah. like in Berlin, in New York. And one of them was Kiev, which was very local, but they actually saw so many talents and it was mm-hmm. so incredible. So we basically established this blueprint for some of the Eastern European designers of how they should really build their careers, and that international acclaim is really what's important, mm-hmm. not like local celebrities or something local, but the only way in fashion is to be international, and that's yeah. the most important for like physical designers and for any like business person, to be honest. And then when the first war broke out, unfortunately, it was 2014. Yes, we established the showroom in Paris to sell the clothes mm-hmm. to the biggest stores all around the world, not to be dependent also on the market locally, because obviously it was in such a difficult position. And we really wanted to push all of the designers internationally mm-hmm. and to make their business much better. And through that company, we also learned a lot of how clothes are being sold in large stores yeah. worldwide, how people would love to create the content and without probably purchasing the items. So it was obvious that we are on the verge of like big changes in the fashion industry. So I moved to San Francisco 6 years ago to do MBA in like fashion business and business. Sorry, it was yeah. not a fashion school, business school and tech. Obviously, San Francisco is the capital of tech. And back then, pre-pandemic, it was like the melting pot for right. everything that was happening in the world. And yes, and then we kind of continued the iterations of digital fashion. In 2020, the pandemic baby DressX was born. Natalia, would you continue?
He was born. No, what I would add is actually we will get to the digital fashion mm-hmm. part, but it's actually consists of different important part is fashion and it's media and it's technology. Mm-hmm. So we are coming from this background of media and fashion, which is incredibly important mm-hmm. when we think about digital fashion, when we build digital fashion, and we actually witnessed that revolution in media when it went from print to digital, to all the web media story, when it went from TV to YouTube. And of course, we understood that with fashion, something similar should be happening. And the latest kind of big revolution was the e-commerce. And right. e-commerce was kind of a global phenomenon, which also changed the fashion industry a lot. And yes, through this previous business with wholesale, we learned a lot from the stores, and we really saw how these changes happen on a huge scale. And that was very inspiring. And of course, we understood that definitely the future of every industry is with intersection of technology. So we decided to move into this direction.
I'm curious, when would you say was digital fashion born? Was this a result of like social media, or did you already have like in traditional, even just in the magazine days, where their outfits were completely edited, like photoshopped, or like, because that was, I guess, an early instance of digital fashions that never really physically existed.
More or less, yes.
Well, yeah, actually, it's a number of different factors here, mm-hmm. and our very, very first attempt in the digital fashion world was to take a sweatshirt of one of the designers with a print of hands and animate those hands in AR. So when you scan it, you see, oh my God, it's recognizing the gestures and it starts like moving and it's a lot of fun. But AR was not there. It was not even on the same level as it is now. So, of course, the experience was a little bit like funny and not exactly what everyone would expect. But that was already a very kind of promising. Mm-hmm. And we understood, okay, that the future, maybe it's not today, but it's happening. We should start moving into that direction. And a lot of the technologies, they become commodities with the time. And it's just important to put it in the right product and combine it with the right content, because this is very important. This is actually the medium and the message and how it is delivered, that the technology. So,
And I think that's kind of what sets you guys a lot apart from other digital fashion companies out there, because I think people sometimes simplify digital fashion and they only think it's a 3D image that's an NFT, but really you guys have an AR aspect in there, a machine learning aspect from, like, you know, making it fit different people to, of course, the Web3 and NFT angle. What was, like, the initial version of DressX? Because I know initially there was, like, a showroom, and you started this before NFTs were even like 2018, I remember, I think you mentioned.
Yes, actually, the first, apart from what Natalia have told you about, like, the sweatshirt with augmented reality that we tested, we also actually did a kind of digital experience. So experience in the store, where we call them fashion, content-driven pop-up stores. Already forgot, it was 4 years ago. So when a person could enter the environment that looked like Museum of Fashion and actually pay for the renting of the certain item and take the pictures in the professional environment. Because, like all of us in fashion, we do have access to, like, photo studios and great photographers, and usually people don't. So we really wanted to build this experience for them, like a photo room, but it was really cool fashion stuff. And we actually started to scale that model, and we did two pop-up stores like that. First on Melrose, it's like very posh and popular location, in Los Angeles. And second one was in Beverly Center, so Beverly Hills. And we actually, it was, we gave an opportunity to people either to create the content or to purchase the clothing. So it was either or you could do both. And we actually saw that people had so much fun. They spent more time in the store, but then the pandemic hit and we actually were a little bit tired of all the physical aspect, because it's a lot of operations, cost of goods sold and etc., and like the delivery costs. And then we were like, how we can replicate the same experience without any physical movements, like what it can be. Actually, it can be like selling digital items for the photos. So the first, like, iteration of DressX, because back then the company was called a little bit differently, and then we understood that DressX will be like the DBA, the product that we are launching, because it's completely different, as it looked like far-fetched, we compared it of digital clothing. So we opened up with 30 items, and the idea was that instead of, like, waiting for the delivery for the item, you just upload your picture, and then you receive that picture back when you're wearing this digital item. We still do that. It's still a part of DressX. So we call them meta looks. It's like, and people use that for PFP, to dress their PFPs. Even our Genesis drop, which is the NFT drop, it also comes with this utility. So basically the utility was always at the core of DressX, because we really believe that fashion in digital as well will be all about wearing things, not about, like, having them somewhere, but actually about showing them off, and not just creating, but really I wear it, I post a picture, I do a video, it's so much fun and cool, and it's a language, and I talk the language of fashion with any of my follower or subscriber, etc. So that's, like, from the utility of day one. We still keep it, we love it, but there are so much more that we see how digital fashion can be utilized, and especially in our app with augmented reality that became so much better, and then with all the other new use cases that we're introducing, and we can talk more about them, like dressing the avatars and et cetera, et cetera. Unless Natalia wants to add something now.
And just to add that, actually, we've got to this path of ownership of something digital, something not physical. a while ago, pre-pandemic, pre-NFT, and that's pretty clear that owning something in a digital format is sometimes very important because we communicate online so much, and maybe we don't need all the physical stuff in order to communicate certain messages and senses. And that's exactly the path we are taking. And yeah, that's our journey.
It really clicked to me, like vision wise, when I observed like kind of behaviors and cultures where people, they don't, especially like girls, right? Like you buy an outfit usually, and you don't want to wear 10 times. You want to be seen by the same people 10 times, right? With the same outfit. Now in the past, when you go to one party and then go to a different party, they don't see that. But in the age of Instagram, when you take pictures, you know, you almost have an outfit for one image. And I listened a couple, you know, hours ago to the Dell podcast that you did, and you mentioned that where so much of fashion nowadays is like for one image almost, and then people sometimes even buy it and they return it, and that has so much impact, whether that's from a, you know, a pollution sense with fast fashion having a lot of impact, and then also from the commercial aspect, because obviously that hurts retailers. And so it's really fascinating how like digital fashion can play into that angle. So with that, you know, maybe we can break down a little bit, like what does dress actually entail, because I know there's so many angles from the marketplace to the AR and so forth.
Would you like to start? Yeah, basically we see DressX and build DressX as ecosystem, and it is kind of user facing and also enterprise facing ecosystem, because we believe that every person will have a meta closet, as we call it, the wardrobe of digital only fashion that you can actually wear in different spaces online, whether you are posting on Instagram or if you're going in VR headset, and all the use cases between those and beyond. So how to achieve that? We have to have several interfaces for that. So of course now all life happens on mobile. And this is a device of today. So of course we have mobile app for Android and for iOS, because we want to meet people anywhere. Yes, exactly. And that's one interface. And for example, AR headsets, they already exist, but it's not like everyone has it, right? And everyone has a smartphone now. And AR is pretty good experience on a smartphone already. So we face this type of audience who is kind of mobile native there. There is another emerging and not so emerging use case of virtual reality, when you have a headset and you can be fully immersed in that. And that's a really interesting one as well. So our collection for avatar store in Meta, which is available now for Instagram avatars, mobile facing again, will be available soon in VR headsets as well. And we already experimented with that for quite a while, and we are happy that now it's like launching on a larger scale, because scale is actually something that is super important. Even AR is mostly used in mobile, even though there are other devices for that. And yes, there are other kind of ways and the other channels how this digital fashion content can be distributed and consumed. And we distribute it both off-chain and on-chain. So when it comes to the on-chain distribution, it of course an NFT, and NFT which comes with the utility. And this is very important for us, and that was our goal from the day one, to give an opportunity to actually wear digital fashion for people, not just to own it, but to be able to style it on yourself, because this is actually also a creative process. And there is a lot of conversations about like creative economy, and everyone is a creator. When you put together your outfit, it's like you are creative. You do it in a certain way, and there is a whole profession of stylists, and there is a whole like movement about it. So this is really a tool for creation of yourself or your own identity. And yeah, this tool can be used both off chain and on chain, and we just give an opportunity to choose. Because different technologies get adopted with a different speed, and we meet our community, our person, our creator, anywhere where they are. With that being said, our ecosystem is available for fashion brands that are ready to reinvent themselves, that are ready to launch this line, this category of digital fashion for themselves. We give an opportunity to enter this ecosystem and reach this futuristic users.
And especially with our aim to sell 1 billion digital fashion items, so we definitely need to use and rely on all the technologies that exist in the world, because we're agnostic to where people will buy our items. The most important is that we drive more revenue, more users, and actually that we are providing a kind of more experiences to people who also believe in digital fashion. And we definitely see the future when every person in the world will have their digital closets and their meta closets by DressX. We believe it will be DressX owning this. Thank you so much. And especially given that the younger generation, they definitely discover brands in Web 2 or Web 3 environments. And this is so stunning, this change, that previously you were walking by the street, seeing the windows of some brands, and you kind of like remember them, and then you wanted to come back. But now this window is online, and the fact that some brands don't recognize it, it's a little bit like they're missing out, as so many brands missed out on the online luxury e-commerce when it just started to be a trend like 15 years ago. But so many people did not believe in that, and they actually missed out that opportunity window when it was easier to enter the space. So it's the same that is happening right now with digital goods and with fashion and digital, and with this opportunity to talk to a younger generation now, while the space is still kind of, you can enter it.
Yeah.
Even like every month, it's harder and harder to enter it because like everyone started to go there. So we were fortunate enough to kind of predict it with all of our experience that you've mentioned, and kind of felt it a little bit in advance. So that's why DressX is everywhere and all of those platforms. And we do have a large community, but definitely it's not where we want to be in like 3 to 5 years from now, where we want to be like on every device in the world.
Right.
But that will come.
And I think that interoperability is pretty fascinating, because last night you showed me the new head launch, right? And initially I always saw the AR aspect for you yourself as a human, right? But you showed me on the PFP, and I think that kind of makes it even so much more personal, because now your outfits can go with you to all these different realities. It can be dressing you on Instagram. It can be in Roblox, right? When you're playing a game, it can be your PFP. And so then, you know, it just allows, I think, people to express themselves and like almost consume their fashion even more like intimately than if it's just hanging in your closet and you just wear it there. From how does that interoperability like kind of work, since, you know, some things are built on Unreal, some things are built on Unity. So once it's AR, once it's like just a 2D image of an NFT, like what are some of those, the challenges and solutions that you're using in order to even make that possible?
Yes. Well, for interoperability, we have to consider several aspects, and there are two main aspects. One is interoperability of the asset themselves. So it all related mostly to like rendering engines, the format of the file, all that important part. And another part of interoperability is a proof of ownership. And there we come to the place, is it Web 2 or Web 3? Is it like that chain or another chain? Which protocol is that? Is there a breach? So there are two important aspects here. And without both of them at the same time, there is no interoperability.
Right.
And there is no interoperability right now, per se, in the world. There are attempts to build it, and I'm sure it will be happening, but step by step. And how we envision it is, for now, we give an opportunity to wear different items in different spaces. It's not like you get one and you wear it everywhere. It's not like it's not a white t-shirt which you can wear anywhere in the world, anytime, for any occasion, and just style it differently with something else. It's early days of digital fashion, and really like your identity is your mostly like total look, and combining things, it's already kind of fun part and kind of advanced part. So for a lot of people, especially from the NFT world, PFPs is their identity, but how we can take it further, right? Today I was in a Twitter space, and part of the people was wearing PFPs as their pictures, and part of the people are still wearing their photos. And it's like cool, and with digital fashion, you can actually, dress up both of them and curate the image However you want to appear, but really style it with this creative tool. And we give an opportunity to wear it in Meta Avatar store, as I mentioned, in Roblox, in Zepeto, in Ready Player Me, in Decentraland. Sandbox is coming, and augmented reality on the photos. I think it's not everything. Even like avatars created in DAZ, we did a beautiful, beautiful like outfits with that as well. So content and bridges both are important. And I think it's bigger question for the whole industry and infrastructure to develop. But we are showing this vision, and we are showing how it's gonna be like.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, it's the early days. I'm sure 5 years from now, 10 years from now, like you buy one item and it can go with you wherever. And maybe you flick a button and a Web2, like essentially owned item turns into an NFT.
We build everything on a feedback loop from the client. And also we now have this expertise of what kind of outfits people prefer for different places. So when we launch something, we understand that, okay, maybe this will be great for a blog, but not amazing for AR or for like Zepeto, or we know that this item should work in Meta for sure. And yeah, that's how we distinguish which utilities we provide for which outfits.
Right. No, and I mean, I remember we were in New York doing NFT NYC, and like something I really liked that you said is like, I was asking like very almost like definite questions where I was like, you know, are you approaching it this way or that way? And you said, you know what? Right now we're collecting all the information and like we're figuring out, like we're kind of like pivoting as we go. I think that my question was around like B2B or NFTs, that we're trying all the different angles and we're seeing like where we're seeing traction, which I really like, because it, like, because we're so early, that allows you to kind of like, you know, path correct and also like, you know, grow and learn. You said you're taking feedback from clients. And so one of the interesting things about you guys is that you are both B2B and B2C. So maybe we can like split those two up. On the B2B side, you guys have worked with a lot of big brands. Recently, you guys did Coca-Cola, for example. What are some of the, I would love to know like both angles. On one side, the companies you work with, kind of like, what are they in it for? Like, what are they excited about? Is it, do they see the metaverse like as a hype opportunity, a marketing opportunity? Is it a way for them to connect to early, to younger audiences? And then for the people that maybe reject you guys, say like, hey, we're not in for digital fashion. What's the objections that you guys hear a lot?
I think it's definitely an opportunity to connect to the younger audiences, as we spoke a bit about already. It's also an opportunity for the marketing tool, but we definitely don't want fashion, digital fashion, and fashion and digital to be perceived only as a marketing tool, because there is a revenue opportunity, as we all saw how skins in the games were sold all of these years. So it's a huge market, it's billions of dollars for some of the gaming companies. So we definitely want to bridge fashion with those numbers, and not saying this is just another tool of how you can represent your brand for the marketing purposes. Yes, it is, but we can also like deliver revenue, and that's exactly what we're working on. And that's why we're trying different things and understanding what will bring the utmost scale here and what use case will be the simplest one. And we definitely see the future for this vision of the Meta Closet, and that's exactly what DressX has become and is continuing to develop with this vision. But obviously when the brands want to work with us, being on the DressX ecosystem means that you are speaking to these new clients that like perceive the brands from this digital angle. And also obviously we sometimes work with other platforms as well by bringing brands there, but what is more available for us is definitely to give them a vision of how they can be present in Web3 with DressX, and how can they leverage from this notion of Meta Closet. And exactly like the partnership with Coca-Cola that you've mentioned, it actually, it was quite cool because you could scan the bottle, like a special collection by Coca-Cola, and then you appear in the environment where there is like different things that you can see, and one of them is your digital collection by DressX, and then you go and you try on the things via the DressX app. So that's actually another kind of way of how you can interact with Coca-Cola, and it's fun and cool and it's nice. And I'm sure that every brand will continue to do things like that, and especially with like big environments like DressX and big Web2 companies and Web3 companies, there are so many opportunities for the brands of how they can be represented. It's really innovative and it's something new. It was never happening like 10 years ago in fashion. And everyone is already tired of just digital ads. You know, you like all digital ads were already shown and invented, and that's
right. and now you're not just like drinking a Coca-Cola, you're actually experiencing something with them. And if you can probably take a, you can take screenshots, and all of a sudden they got, you know, free promotion as well. People saying, hey, you know, I'm doing this, and people check it out as well.
Yes, it's a medium and experience at the same time. So that's why it's like not only for the fashion brands, it's other brands like Coca-Cola can start their digital line.
Right. But in terms of objections, where do you think people, where do brands kind of like maybe miss the boat? What are they, what are some misconceptions maybe that you think they have?
That they don't start now.
They don't start now, okay.
Yes, because I think it's important. The biggest misconception of humanity is not to try something, because we actually need to try some innovations and understand if it's the right timing for them or we should postpone. So, and the more we try, more we have like the technology being developed and more people will be in the industry. So we definitely advocate for all the brands to start now. And definitely we did see the objective 2 years ago when we spoke with the brands, but now there is like no shortage of incoming requests of how to work together. And that's already a very interesting change in 2 years. I wonder what will be and how we will respond to this question if we meet up in 2 years from now to do the same interview. Like, what would be the scale of everything?
And do you think, was it like Facebook's move to Meta? Was it like the NFT craze? Or was it that, you know, we had some brave early players that tried it out and it worked for them and people are saying, hey, the concept is proven, let me try it too?
Well, I think both of these factors were important, and now there is a little bit of cool down and people are like, oh, NFT scam, I heard something like, but that's good that for us, it has always been about actually how you can wear it. And this has not changed. And that actually proves the longevity and like utility of this technology in general, and actually legitimizing all the NFT world, which is sometimes a scam as well, but a lot of legit projects are there, of course. And speaking of backlash and a good kind of points for adopting this technology, of course, when Meta renamed the company, people started kind of thinking, okay, what is the Metaverse? What is Meta? And it's just aligning on the language, and it's kind of explaining the use case, because at the beginning, when we just launched DressX, maybe 30% of our orders were delivered, and then people would ask, wait, but where is my real dress? Oh. And I'd say, oh, it's digital. But now, of course, there's no such questions. Everyone understands what's going on. Of course, back then you would take it as a compliment that it looks just like real, that it's amazing. But of course, we had to do a lot of this educational work and bigger events are helping.
Yeah, that actually takes us to like the second angle of the business. And I guess they're interrelated, because even if you work with a brand, they have customers underneath them, right? So when on the B2C side, who is your demographic? Like, what is it like? What does it look like, age-wise, gender-wise? Like, who do you see buying, wearing, consuming digital fashion mostly?
For us, it's mostly people based in the US, in the United States, but that's because we're like doing mostly our business here. But definitely in Europe, it's like Germany, for example, France is the country that where we have users, and UK active users that are like shopping on some like recurring basis. And we definitely see this tendency for the millennials to use like the BFPs and Meta looks and augmented reality as well. Because like younger generation, they're mostly even not on social media, but they're more in gaming / social, which is like Roblox, for example. Yep. So that's where DressX is being discovered by that generation, because we really want for them to have this kind of association that this is like DressX is something with fashion, if they don't know anything about the trends. But then when they grow up a couple of years, they will come back to us and they will continue to shop with us. So it's mostly millennials. It's there is a common kind of thinking that digital fashion is mostly for women, but actually like 40% of our customers are male, which is interesting. But obviously like NFT is more male dominated industry, but actually a lot of male are kind of pro innovation. So they want to try something new and it looks cool and nice. And we do have a lot of like sweatshirts is being sold and they're unisex. And for like example, our collection in Meta, it's now more targeted for female users. And we have a lot of complaints from our male friends like, oh my God, I have just two options and it's two sweatshirts that I can wear here. And all the rest is the dresses, other dresses. So what can I do?
This last night.
Yeah, that's what we're changing for the next year drops for sure.
Awesome. Yeah, I need my outfits, you know, so I can like finally post pictures on Instagram, because I have the issue like I don't have time to photo shoots, but I could do like one photo shoot wearing my black T-shirts and then just overlay new outfits every single week.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, we already covered this. I was going to also mention, you know, the reason people buy, because, you know, there, I guess there's three different angles people could buy for, which is speculation, AR, or in-game. Where has been the most volume, you would say? Is it for things like Roblox, or is it more on the AR front?
Well, if we look at how many try-ons of AR happened, of course, it's a huge number.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the AR is distributed in different ways, can be free, and then you get a meta look, and it can be paid, it can be part of the NFT utility. But when it comes to, for example, Roblox,
mm-hmm.
it's like, of course, high volume of the items, and people changing the looks there all the time as well. And the price is a little bit more affordable compared to the NFT, which is unique, or compared to some meta look that is usually something like super crazy digital couture outfit. So yeah, that's...
And I guess the time wearing your outfits is also much higher in something like Roblox, because it's not just a single picture, but rather somebody's running around with a dress X sweater, you know, kind of, I guess, always highlighting the company.
Yeah, however, when we count how much time you use your mm-hmm. profile picture, and
profile picture, of course, it's always there.
It's 24/7, right?
Yeah. One interesting conversation we kind of like tapped into before we got going was, you know, I guess the relationship with like Meta and Apple. I know you guys also recently launched on the Meta Avatar Store, which curious how that relationship's going into the future. You want to kind of dominate the Meta closet where everybody goes to dress X. Now there's also going to be a home a little bit with Meta. So what's the relationship there? Are they kind of competing? Are they two opposite? Can, I guess, items be transferred between them? And also kind of what's your overall take on like Meta and Apple's stance recently on digital goods and NFTs and so forth?
Mm-hmm. It's obviously amazing for us to be partnering with a company like Meta, because mm-hmm. it's an opportunity to face a broader audience.
Yeah.
And now you can wear DressX items directly on Instagram, Facebook, Oculus, starting like beginning of December. And this is really huge. And obviously, we want to be there, and we want to continue to be there. And those companies are at certain point, to a certain extent, also like, show what the market can be in the future,
right?
Because as soon as they actually added an opportunity to connect your MetaMask to Instagram, it became obvious that now I can showcase my digital goods on Instagram, which gives it another dimension of democratization. And it's not all the people that know about it, it's maybe like still few like fans and etc., but it is already a movement towards the space, which actually proves all of our ideas and proves the vision and etc. Now we all just need to scale as fast as possible, and that's exactly what we're working on. Apple is a very difficult company to comment on, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't work with them directly. We're obviously present in the Apple Store, but there are a lot of pros and cons about how things are there and how they tackle NFTs. But I'm sure that some of the new rules will exist, and I'm sure that in all of those companies, they do have Web3 departments that are kind of thinking about the future and how better to tackle that future, because they also understand how much responsibility they have in their hands, considering the amount of audience they have on their platform. But it's cool that the world is different. So someone will stay with Meta, someone will be on other platforms, and all these worlds will coexist, and we want to serve both.
Yeah.
That's the vision.
And it's worth noting too, like how much, like over time, big tech companies have adopted. Like I remember back in like 2017, 2018, PayPal would ban anybody from like transacting with a crypto-related company. And then in 2020, they added Bitcoin payments, the Bitcoin wallets, right? Same thing with Venmo and Square. And then even social media, I would have never imagined that, like whether it is Instagram or Twitter, that they would integrate with MetaMask. Now you can connect your MetaMask to either of them, you know, and have a NFT profile picture on Twitter, or you can post NFTs on your feed. And so I guess long-term, if we stick with long enough, it does seem like the general trend will slowly get accepted and adapted. So...
True.
It's, you know, not necessarily getting in the way. I'm curious. Actually, this is a good segue into that. One question I was curious, since you're working with both Web2 companies and you're in the NFT space, Web2 versus Web3, what do you think can either worlds learn from each other?
Well, definitely Web3 should learn a scale
mm-hmm.
from Web2 and the user experience. I'm quite sure everyone would be happy to buy things in one click rather than going through multiple steps, connecting,
mm-hmm.
disconnecting, signing transaction, waiting. You know, I'm quite sure everyone would be happy to have such an experience in Web3 as well.
Mm-hmm.
If we talk back, what Web2 can learn from the Web3, I think it's maybe just having this open-minded approach and more inclusive approach, mm-hmm. because there are a lot of amazing solutions can be mm-hmm. built if there are more opinions.
Right, like almost that community-driven approach where they're really tapped in with their customers versus kind of top-down.
Absolutely.
How about you?
That's actually a very interesting question about Web 3 and Web 2, because in the end it will be somewhere like Web 2.5. Mm-hmm. And yes, I agree completely with Natalia about the scale, but I think that's the goal for Web 3. But the thing is, it was just born like recently, yep. so the simplicity of the product is not there yet. So like not everyone owns the MetaMask and etc. But because more and more people will adopt it, it will become simpler to use it. So it's definitely what Web3 needs to be also open-minded about. It's about the scale, because yeah. sometimes they are like very into the groups, you know, it's like only 20,000 NFTs, no more, etc. But actually, yeah, it's great to build luxury products, sure. but it's also cool when it's popularized and democratized. What Web2 can learn from Web3, I think like this luxurious execution of things, mm-hmm. like amazing assets and etc. Like some of the PFPs they done incredibly well and mm-hmm. so beautiful. And actually the innovation too, but I mean, what companies are we comparing? Some Web2 companies, they're so innovative yeah. that you can dive into what they're doing, like Snapchat, that invented the entire augmented reality technology. Right. Like they purchased a company and then they started to build on it. So this is something really cool. So I think like the most interesting in this world when two like dimensions coexist and yeah. they started to learn from each other is definitely two different groups of people. But now like people are merging from Web 2 into Web 3 and vice versa, mm-hmm. which is also interesting.
One of the big concepts in digital fashion is phygital, and you used the word earlier in the very beginning because like that was with your first pop-up stores. Phygital, for those that don't know, is physical and digital, right? You've kind of stayed away from that. What's like your pro and con, and why are you going for, I guess, pure digital?
I think it's just the way how we started, because mm-hmm. definitely it was the biggest innovation back then 2 years ago, that the store can exist without actually having any inventory. Yeah. And that was super cool and super interesting and the way to launch the company. But we definitely see a lot of future in phygital. So mm-hmm. we can be a digital provider for the physical items.
Yeah.
Also, to be honest, like there are so many physical clothes mm-hmm. that are produced every year in the world that to keep producing them, it's like maybe not that of an interesting decision, you know,
right.
because we need to understand how to sell better what is already produced, so we should not produce even more of the items that wouldn't be sold and end up on the landfills. And we briefly touch on sustainability, but actually that's a very important pillar why DressX was born, just mm-hmm. to give an opportunity to consume fashion differently, because there are a lot of things that already exist in the world. You can purchase them on the Real, for example, some of the pre-loved items as they call them, or anywhere else. And then in digital you can go crazy, but your physical wardrobe can be like really consists of the bodysuits or like something very easy to use.
Right.
Yeah, so it's interesting approach, you know, for all of this.
Plus one also is that you can really, I guess, break the laws of physics, you know, that like outfits are no longer tied to like what's possible, but you can have, you know, almost like fantasy outfits that are not possible in the physical world.
Exactly, that's exactly what we did for this Balmain Flame dress. It mm-hmm. was a unique NFT. And DressX provides the utility to wear it, and it's a flame dress, and we did the flame sneakers with Buffalo and the Fabricant. Absolutely. Really, phygital is not only physical hoodie and digital AR, for example, mm-hmm. because you can be physical and your AR outfit is digital. What is this experience? Is it phygital experience or digital experience? So there is a kind of fine line, but why I like this concept of phygital, because it's a way to introduce mm-hmm. digital fashion and the way to show it to more people and the way to just explain the utility in a more clear way to the wider audience. And this adoption is very important, and that's why I really like this concept of phygital. But I think it's just an iteration of the development of the whole industry, mm-hmm. and it's like a trend, and there will be a lot of other trends.
I'm sure. When it comes to NFTs, I know because initially you guys didn't do NFTs, you now with the new version of the app, you guys are integrating NFTs. What's some of the ups and downs you've seen with like working with NFTs? I know you already mentioned like, you know, friction when it comes to using MetaMask and Web3 and so forth. But do you see, do you think that in the future, like all your digital fashion items will be NFTs or more so?
I think when it will, there will no be distinguishment from the user experience perspective. Are you buying something? Is it an NFT or not? You will not even think about it, you know, then probably everything will be an NFT. But I think it's a little bit in the future because it's about the speed of the transactions and a lot of different aspects that it's not only on us, but on a larger ecosystems.
Right.
Yeah, so that's why I think what we really enjoy is that you mentioned you can connect your MetaMask to Instagram or Twitter, but what you can do, you can just post, right? But you cannot take it further. And again, for us, this like utility is super important that you can actually wear it, that you can actually create something, that you can also share. This is very exciting. And again, how it can live in our kind of day-to-day life, not just when we buy and we forget about it and we are waiting what's going to happen, but when we actually interact with it on a daily basis.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. What I'm, and I also think, you know, in the future, people are like NFT, like people will be able to trace if they want to, like if people want to validate, like, is it actually scarce? How many are there? Is it actually mine? They can do so. But same thing goes for blockchain. I think everybody will interact with blockchain in the future, but they don't even know. And like they shouldn't, because like we do, most people don't know what TCP/IP stands for. Most people don't know what SMTP stands for, but they use it every day. It's the internet and email, right? And so like you don't need to know though that all the technological lift, nor, you know, put like, you know, even work with code or like, you know, work with a, you know, with a wallet and affirm a transaction, set the gas fee and so forth. It's, you know, it's very 90s right now for crypto. As we're in a bear market, you know, what building in a bear market, couple final questions, what are some lessons and insights you would have? You know, obviously you guys are really well funded, you guys have been doing incredible, and even now you guys are one of the few companies that is actually growing. You know, for many of these quarters you guys have been actually, like, you know, making new records.
I think bear market is an amazing time to learn and test new things, obviously. And as you mentioned, we're builders. Like, we met a friend of ours today, and it was so funny because he was like asking, so what are you going to do today? And we're saying, we go to WeWork to work. And he's like, oh my God, you're like people who work, actually work. Yes, because sometimes in this space, you just meet people who like, great in like presenting things, right. And it's also a great talent. Talks. But we actually spend a lot of time in front of our laptops and thinking like how we can take it further and executing a lot of projects. And not all of them work great. Like there are some of them that we understand that's probably not the direction we should take now, and maybe wait or etc. Maybe it's already passé. So that's exactly the timing to try new things and to try to grow as fast as possible in terms of like community gifting. We did an airdrop of the items to all of the people who subscribe to our marketplace when we were still building it.
Yeah.
And then we did this generative drop. We're still doing it. And actually, by the time when the interview will be out, it's probably will be already finished. But anyway, and there are a lot of things that we can test. So actually, like the bear market is an amazing period for every industry, because you remember like Airbnb and some of other like innovative companies.
08, 09,
yes, 10. Yes. They were born when like things were in shambles. It's just because the creativity flourishes. And maybe sometimes the abundance of money is not the best thing.
But I think bear market is not the scariest thing in the world. We started DressX when pandemic started.
Right.
And then there was a war. We are both from Ukraine. Right. And now it's a bear market is not the scariest thing in the
like
world.
It's like the death that happens in these 2 years is the bear market, actually. That's right.
Well, you know, tough times make it tougher. And so like you are able to like stand those things a lot more. One more question too. You know, you two are incredibly sharp, dedicated, driven, and you two are also two female founders. We don't have that many female founders in the crypto space, and I think we all would love to see more. Maybe what some piece of advice you'd have for other female founders to like enter the space, you know, feel comfortable in the space, and I mean, you'll see some of the success you've seen.
To start now.
To start now. Just like the brands. Everybody start now.
Do not stop.
Yes, and definitely to work hard.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, it's like maybe a different scenarios exist for different people, but we kind of tried many things in life, and yep. I think like hard work and dedication, they really help when yep. you're very kind of when you believe in your success. But that should be proven by all the theories that you can try on a daily basis, and you work again and again and again. And we have a couple of friends whom we actually like, they were interested in digital fashion, but we brought them like kind mm-hmm. of, and we all became more active because we were all in the space. Yeah. And yes, we're very happy to see some of our friends who are entering the space, because we believe that better they would than someone we don't know.
Yeah, just start now and don't stop. And honestly, I don't like to distinguish people much as like male founders or like female founders. You just do great yeah. or you don't. So that's the difference. If we measure success, we don't measure something else.
100%. No, and you two always really impressed me. I mean, I've been following your journey for like now, I think a year and a half, you know, the first time. And an ex-girlfriend was going through the app, and I was like, wow, this is incredible. She hates NFTs, but she is looking at digital fashion. I'm like, there's a real use case here. And then I've been following the journey, and you guys have gone from, I think at the time you raised your first round, you know, always on stages, but also always building, which, you know, is a rare combination. I think there's a lot of builders that don't know how to really brand and market themselves. And there's people that just do branding and marketing, but they're not actually building anything. And so it's been really awesome seeing you guys' this growth and journey, and also really happy to be part of it now as an investor. And I'm sure we'll get to that 1 billion items, and not just 1 billion items, I'd say 1 billion users on the platform, and dollars, users, everything. And so if people want to learn more about DressX or you two, what's the best way to follow?
Well, the best way is to go to dressx.com or nft.dressx.com and start wearing digital fashion, not just listening about it.
That's right.
Or watching about it. And yes, our emails, daria.natalia@dressx.com. We are on Instagram, DressX. We are on Twitter, DressX. So,
yeah. So there are a lot of ways of how to connect. And we always try to interact with the community to answer. Yeah, and I think, yeah, the experience in digital fashion, even also the app, they can also download the app. This is something that can be done in iOS and Android. Right. So, yeah, that's exactly what you mentioned, that your friend was doing that. So, yeah.
And just experiencing, because I think the moment you experience it, and maybe even like go to the Instagram and see like how real some of these items look, I think that sells the idea more than anything. So, yeah. Glad to have you guys here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.